Hello everybody, my name's Kate and today I'm going to be your host.
Hello everybody, my name is Jonathan. Today I'm going to be the guest.
Today we're going to be hearing Jonathan's story and about how God came to know him and how God is speaking to him and working to him as in his life at this time. Hello and welcome to the Holland Road Encounter podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. I'm so excited for this episode as I love hearing people's testimonies, their stories of how God has changed their lives. I always find it so encouraging and challenging. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining me today. Could you please briefly introduce yourself for our listeners?
Thanks very much, Kate. Thanks very much for having me today. Yes, my name is Jonathan. Originally Iranian British, and I'm based in Brighton, and I've been a member of the church for a while, and today I'm going to share with you my story.
Amazing. Okay, Jonathan, I hope you're ready for this. It's time for our quick fire questions round. Would you rather be able to fly or breathe underwater?
Breathe under the water.
Nice, get to see all the fish and everything.
Yes.
Cool. And the final quick fire round question. If you were a colour, what colour would you be?
Blue. Blue is the only colour.
Oh, very strong on that, Jonathan. I like it. So yeah. This is the question we ask to all our guests. Jonathan, if you were a car, what car would you be?
Oh, 007 car.
Nice. James Bond's private limo, or I'm not sure if he drives a limo.
I think it's a convertible.
Yeah, get the tan going as you roll down the roof.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for those answers, Jonathan. I feel like we've got to know you a bit better. Jonathan, could you now tell us how you came to know God personally? Can you tell us your testimony?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony with you. I was living like any youth and any teenager. I had a normal life. I had my circle of friendship. And I was born in a family Muslim background, but very westernized, I would say, secular family. So we had a lot of difficulties when I was younger. And my family, they went through a lot of hardship time. And for me, I was always that question, who's God? And I wasn't a very religious person, but I always asked that question. So that question led me to start to research about my own religion. And I started to practice as a Muslim for a couple of years. And I started to say Salat and going to the mosque from time to time. So because of the family situation and hardship we had, drew me closer to God. But I was thinking, if I want to getting closer to Him, I need to practice my own religion. And so that's why I started to say prayer, Islamic prayer, and going to mosque from time to time. But meanwhile, I realized nothing had changed deep down in my heart. Still had a lot of questions and issues, a lot of problems with my personality. And I still was doing the same things. And sometimes, you know, I felt very disappointed with myself. And even with my family, so there was a division and a lot of problems and argument, and it didn't really resolve my issue. So I got to that point, I realized whatever I'm doing is not going to help me. That's not going to save me. And I remember one day I was praying after I finished my prayer. I just asked God with my own language. I said, God, you don't need me to pray in Arabic. Why not praying in my own language? And why I have to repeat myself all the time? So I'm sure there's a truth. I'm sure there is a life, and I'm sure there is a salvation. So this is not the truth. Just show me your truth. And then a few days later, as I was walking in the street and thinking about my personal life and what's going to happen in, you know, in the future. So I remember I look up at the sky and I said, I'm sure there is a salvation. I'm sure that there is a way. I just want you to lead me to your salvation. And I don't know what happened 2 weeks later. So one of my mom's friend was going to the church. She invited me to the church and I went to the church for first time. So when I went to the church, I remember the guy, the subject for the preach was about a prodigal son. And as soon as I heard the story of the prodigal son, that really resonated with my heart and just felt for the first time. So this is me. And this is really me. This guy is talking about me, about my personal life. And I just felt I found my home. And today was the day Father in heaven is calling me. And that was the first time I heard in my life someone said, yes, Jesus Christ is the destination, is a life, is a truth, and Jesus is the only way and is the only salvation. And that really, really touched me. And I got the goosebumps. I remember I was in tears. Mm. And I couldn't believe it. That was something I asked like a couple of weeks ago from God. And now I found the answer. So I remember after I finished the sermon, my mom's friend asked me, would you like to come back to the church? I said, yes, of course. It's finished. And she was like, what do you mean it's finished? I said, yeah, it's done. You know, I believe Jesus Christ is Son of God. I believe he is the only way. And there is no other salvation. There is no other Savior. He's the only Savior. And she couldn't believe me at the first place because she thought I was a little bit overwhelmed, maybe super excited. And then, but they told me, okay, take a book, started your own study, then we put you in contact with somebody to answer all your questions. I couldn't express my feeling, you know, how was my feeling, you know, from the church until the house. I didn't feel I was walking in the street. I just felt, you know, I was flying on my wings. Yeah. I was very excited. As soon as I got to the home, I said to my mom, eventually I found it. And my mom asked me, what did you find? I said, eventually I find the truth. I find my home. I found the Father. And I explained to my mom a little bit. And she said, that's amazing. If that's the case, I would love to join you next week. And I remember at that night, I went to my room and I didn't know how to pray like the good Christian boy. The only thing I remember when I was a child, or sometimes we have a Christmas party. So I just remember when I was a child, I look at the Christmas movie, and I remember in the movie it shows children that are bending on their knees in their bedroom and praying to God and, you know, asking for the gifts for the Christmas. And I just followed that pattern. I just made myself humble and I started to pray, say to God. Thank you very much to show me the truth, if that's the truth. And if Jesus, you are the only way and there's no other salvation, the salvation is coming from you. Help me to be real and having a strong faith. And that night I went to the bed. I remember in the midnight I woke up with very loud voice. It was like a, you know, loud music of hallelujah, like a choral. Wow. And I thought my neighbor put the music very loud. I was a little bit, upset with my neighbor. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, so we need to wake up in the morning. So this is not the right time to put the music loud. And I tried to get back to sleep by put the pillow on my head. I thought, you know, maybe I can back to sleep that way. And as soon as I tried to avoid the voice, that voice getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I don't know what's happened after maybe 10, 15 minutes, I find myself sitting on my bed with the closed eyes, just singing hallelujah, hallelujah. And I don't know how long did it last. I fall asleep. And then I woke up in the morning. I just remember what happened to me last night. What I did, I called my mom's friends and I asked her, that's happened to me. I don't understand. What does it mean? And she was very emotional. She started to cry and she said, do you know, last night, what's happened to you? There is a verse in the Bible. It says, when one man's got 100 sheep, if one of them get lost, he's going to leave the 99 of them and then he's going after the one is lost. Mm. And when he's finding the one, put it on his shoulder, and then everyone is going to celebrate. And same things happen in the heaven when one person is repenting from his sin. And so that, what she said there was a celebration in the heaven for your salvation. And that was just beginning of my journey with God.
Mm. I love the fact that you've got invited to your own party in heaven, God's big music party. That's just so incredible.
Exactly. You know, for someone coming from a different background, heard that loud voice. Initially, I thought someone put a CD very loud and they have a party upstairs, and I felt I need to back to sleep. Oh, it was a little bit frustrating, but afterwards, you know, I find myself singing a song.
I think it just really shows kind of that contrast that you found from religion and sort of striving and trying to be good enough, trying to find the truth, to relationship with a loving father who wakes you up in the night to have a party.
Yes, exactly, because I was looking for a relationship with God. I wasn't looking for a religion, to be honest with you. And that was some things I was feeling lacking when I was practicing, you know, my own religion, Islam. So, but when I, at that night, you know, it was like a new revelation, you know, God invited me to his to relationship with him, like as a father and son. Yeah, that was amazing.
And from that time, when sort of God met with you and came into your life, can you describe any challenges or any things that have sort of made you waver in your faith?
You know, I think, you know, we all have a journey. You know, during that journey, there's a lot of up and down. You know, sometimes you are on a peak and you think everything is perfect. You are walking with the God and God is working amazingly in your life. And sometimes you feel you can't see in God's hands in your life. You can feel his presence and everything seems to be very disappointed, or you are going through the time of the, I would say time of the difficulties or hardship in your life. But God promised he's going to stay next to us and walking with us until we're coming out of that situation. But God never promised us we are not going through the hardship. So that was a learning curve for me. You know, I learned through that journey, you know, regardless whatsoever, good or bad, hardship, you know, if there is any success, any defeat, God is faithful. He's same yesterday, today, and tomorrow forever.
Oh, man, yes. Encouraging to know that both God is with us when we're in those lows and troughs of life, and also God knows and promises us that it is going to be hard, but that he's going with us and before us. At the moment, Jonathan, how would you say God is speaking to you and challenging you?
You know, this is, you know, I learned by experience and during my many years, you know, my relationship with God. When God is talking to me, he's talking to me directly. I need to take it on a board and be very serious about it. And I trust him because I know he loves me and he cares about me, and he wants the best out of me. So one of the things God's really challenged me, it was about my career, about my master. I'm coming from the finance backgrounds and I've been in the finance for the last few years. I was very career-minded, very passionate, and I was thinking, you know, I want to get success and going on top of the career ladder. And, you know, that was my basically achievement, my goal for my life. And last 2 years, since last 2 years, everything's had changed in my life. You know, all of a sudden, my career stopped, mm-hmm. and I tried to find another job. I couldn't get the new job. And I felt, you know, all the doors all of a sudden closed, and everything's closed. The more I knock, and more get rejection. And that was like a setback for me. And on the other hand, I realized God is more calling me into his ministry.
Wow.
So, and for someone who's coming from the finance, going into ministry, at the very beginning, it was a little bit challenging for me because I was thinking, no. So I want to do something for you, Lord, but I don't want to get into full-time ministry. I want to carry on with my career, doing my own job, maybe. So I need to apply and be more focus on my career. And then when I have a good job, when I settle down, then I can think about what I want to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, that's not God's desire. God wants us to surrender everything before him and say, Lord, I'm in your command. So I do whatever you want me to do. So that was a journey for me. God told me, you know, if I obey him, and trust him, he's faithful God. So that was one of my biggest challenges. God, wants me to walk through that direction. And I'm still learning to trust him and step out of the faith. Sometimes God wants me to come out of my comfort zone, because we all have a comfort zone. You know, when we get a little bit relaxed, even in our spiritual life. But God wants us to jump out of our comfort zone, because he wants us to grow and he wants to stretch us. And the other thing was about my master, because I was applying for university to study master. And I've been working on that project for 2 years. And just recently I realized God wants me to drop my course.
Wow.
And for me as a person, very career-minded, very ambitious, all of a sudden you realize God really wants you to drop that course. Course is a big challenge. So, but I learn I can trust him. I learn, he's a faithful God. If I trust him, and then he's gonna bless me, and he's a provider. So he knows better than me. He knows what he's got in, for me, for my future, what future holds for me.
Amen. Yeah. But I think that can be so easy to be distracted by the people around us or the things that the world tell us we should be going for. For you, Jonathan,
yes.
How would you say you found your identity to be in Jesus rather than your job or your education? How did you come to that point of knowledge?
That's a very good question, Kate. You know, I started always by questioning that questions, who you are. It's very important to ask ourselves that question, or ask that question from myself every day, who you are. So we have one identity in God, and we have one identity in the world. So the identity we get in God, we get it from the Bible. But the identity is coming from the world. We can get it from the social media, from the society. And it's very challenging, you know, especially as a youngsters, you know, in this society. So if you're in a social media, so you need, they encourage you to be competitive, and they encourage you to be to look for the performance, you know, appearance, that kind of things. One thing we should remember, when Adam and Eve fall, they died spiritually in the garden. The sense of accepted by enjoying the amazing intimate relationship by God change to sense of rejection, and the sense of significance was replaced by a sense of guilt and shame. The sense of security turned to fear. And so what war tried to do, they tried to fill that gap by performance. I'm not against the performance, but this is not our identity. they try to fill that gap to bring a security for recognition. So it's nothing bad about the recognition, but it's very important to understand where your identity is coming from. For instance, if you look at the social media, there's a lot of pictures about the celebrities, about the people that are very successful by getting a better positions. And sometimes, you know, people, they find their identity to copy from the celebrities. So some people, they don't have a confidence because they think maybe they don't look great or maybe they are not in a good shape. But what I try to say, regardless, whatever is your look, your appearance, so God loves you. So if you believe in Jesus, if you find your identity in God, and if you give your life to God, so if you get, you know, if you're understanding, then you don't need to try to basically give an impression to people to be accepted, because you're already accepted by God.
About taking in that truth of the fact that God loves you and has accepted you fully as you are now, as his child, as his beloved, rather than trying to have your identity in who the world says you are or in grades. Or...
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Because we are not getting the salvation by man's work. It's coming by grace. So sometimes we need to learn to be gracious to ourselves. So if you extend the grace, then that's going to change our perception about the life and our identity and other people around. I know it's very hard, especially if you are part of the circle of friendship. You know, if you have a family or friends that are very competitive, they always talk about, like, for instance, fashion industry. So it's good to, you know, always dress well, but this is not our identity. This is something I was struggling for a few years. You know, I need to look, I need to be present, fashionable, or I need to look like that celebrity. But this is not our identity. Our identity is in God.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. So encouraging to hear all those truths that can be spoken over us. So Jonathan, can you just tell us a bit about how God is using you now and where you feel God is guiding you?
Yeah, sure. This is a good question, Kate, because God completely changed my life for almost year, you know, in terms of the ministry. So at the moment, we are running the online ministry with Iranian and Farsi speakers, and so they are in different part of the world. You know, we have a online ministry for Iranians in European countries as well as Iran. We have a base in Athens. We start the ministry among the refugees. So God, at the moment, God uses us for advancing his kingdom among the nation, especially Farsi speakers, just preaching and evangelizing, praying and teaching and make a discipleship. And so that's why we run the online hub ministry, Voice of Love, and through that ministry we try to make a discipleship and help people to grow in love and in his compassion, and then going outside and make it, you know, reach the people and make a discipleship doing the same thing.
Amazing. That's so exciting to hear. So Jonathan, for your final question, can you explain to the listeners how you and how you think others can make a difference as a Christian?
That's very good questions. If you want to make a difference as a Christian, it's not just about going to the church and reading a Bible. Although they are very valuable, I think we're called to do more than this. We can make a difference by living a Christian life every day. So it doesn't matter whether you're studying, you're working, wherever you are, try to have a right attitude and try to be a good example for others in everything you do and reflect the goodness of God. For instance, don't talk behind back anybody. Don't participate or laugh at sinful subject. Just walking away. Don't be like a person getting wasted on Friday night and then coming to the church on Sunday. Be patient, be kind. If people can't tell you Christians by your words and actions, definitely there's something wrong. So love others, be willing to help everyone, and that's going to cost you. And be able to take a rejection, I would say. This is another thing. I know it's hard to show positive attitude when people reject us. But we have a good example in the Bible. We need to turn our cheek if someone is rude to us and just show them the forgiveness and love.
Amazing. Thank you, Jonathan. It is so encouraging sometimes to hear that actually we do know what to do. We know that we should be humble, kind, patient, loving and forgiving people. We don't need to be the best evangelist or the most knowledgeable about scripture, but actually just to be living as Jesus would like us to be living. So thank you. I'll just pray for us now as we come to a close. So Lord, I just thank you for Jonathan. Thank you for the way you saved him, Lord. Thank you that you called him, that you spoke truth into his life, that you saved him. And Lord, thank you that you do the same for us. Thank you that when one person turns to you, there is a party in heaven. And Lord, just pray for all of us who have heard Jonathan's encouraging story, that we would be encouraged and be able to make a change in our life to move closer to you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks very much.
So this now brings us to the end of this Encounter podcast. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us, encouraging us and challenging us to make these changes. And thank you for all the listeners who have tuned in. You can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR and subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We are releasing new podcasts every week on Friday, so do check them out.